We're going to look at two lessons. It's going to take us 2 weeks, this week and next week, and we're going to look at what we call the foundation, the Christian life, the foundation and the walk. We're going to start this morning looking at the foundation. We won't get all the way through. There are three key things there. We're going to see the first two, and then next week we'll finish that third one, and then we'll talk about the walk of the Christian life. You know, when you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, we're born again, we're a child of God, we begin a process in which we're conformed to the image of Jesus, and we want to grow. And the Bible describes this as the walk of the Christian life. Well, I think there's some key things that help us, especially when we think about the foundation. What are some things we need to do if we're going to have victory in the Christian life? And we'll see it as we go through it this morning. Now, think about this, and I love it. I'm gonna say something like this in the service this morning, but you know, it's by the grace of God that he has given to us the gift of eternal life. And we think about how God loved us and sent his son, Jesus Christ, that Jesus came and died and rose again, that whoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. And that is the greatest truth. And that's really the story of the Bible, how the perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his son, Jesus Christ. So that's what we got. But then there's this great truth. We trusted Christ, we're saved forever, and now we're left on this earth to live for him. How do we, as those who have eternal life, live? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we're new creations in Christ. That's who we are. We begin this process of what we call the Christian life. And so in these two lessons, we're going to look at this. We're going to look at the foundation and the walk. The foundation and the walk. And this morning, we're going to look at the foundation. And next time, finish it because we won't get the whole thing. We're in a battle. In fact, in several weeks, I've got a couple more lessons that we're really going to talk about the battle of the Christian life. This may be interesting to you because I usually don't emphasize this one, but in the two-part lesson we got coming in the future, we're going to look at the battle against the devil and a battle against the flesh, and we'll see how that fits as well. So this one is more of the foundation and the walk of the Christian life. So let's start with the foundation. And if you want to talk about the foundation, there are three things there, three aspects to help us win, and or you might say have victory in the Christian life. The first one is offer our lives. We're going to see that. You can write that in Romans 12, 1 and 2. We're going to see that more this morning in more detail. And that's why I told you to go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 12. The fact is to offer our lives as living sacrifices. The second one tied in with this one is to focus on Jesus. How are we going to live this Christian life? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, run the race, putting our eyes, fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ. And we'll see that some more this morning as well. The third one, which we will not get to this morning, but we'll get to next week, is we need to remember our responsibility. We are ambassadors for Christ. So the big three, the big foundation as we seek to live for Christ and to grow as a Christian is to offer our lives, focus on Christ, and remember our responsibility. And we'll talk more about that in detail next time. So as you go to the top of the very next page, we're going to start with the first one, and this is the one of offering our lives. Now, you need to understand something. Let me get it up there for us. We want to offer our lives as living sacrifices. Listen to Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 1 and 2. He says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your what? What does he tell you to present? Your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And then he says, and stop being conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, when we think about that, we're talking about as a believer. Do we offer our lives to Christ for salvation? Do we offer our lives to Christ for eternal life salvation? No. What do? We believe. We put our faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life. So the whole idea of saying now, as a Christian, what do? What's our foundation as a Christian? We're talking about giving our lives in service for Christ. I trusted Christ in 1969 in college. On February 13th, I remember the day and everything because I went to a Bible study, so I trusted in Christ. I did not offer my life to him to live for him until 6 or 7 years later while I was coaching at Mississippi State. So we're talking about something that we as believers do. So first of all, every one of us in this room, I hope and pray, and I'm assuming that every one of you in this room have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've trusted in Christ for eternal life. So every one of us in the room say, yes, we're Christians. We know Christ as Savior. Now, we want to have victory in the Christian life. And the very first thing we need to do is offer our lives. That we say, Lord, I want my life to count for you. By the way, we can either live for self or we can live for God. If we're going to make an impact for Jesus Christ, it begins as we offer our lives. Now, remember, we're not talking about salvation. Because salvation is what? It's a gift by faith. It's a gift. But being a disciple does what? cost us our lives. Now, we know this, so this is not anything new. We know this. Listen, here's something you may not have realized. You know what 1 Corinthians says? It says, we've been bought with a price. We are not our own. We belong to God. Therefore, glorify God in our lives. So every one of us in this room who have trusted in Christ, we've been bought by Jesus Christ. We belong to him. And he actually says to us, take your life and bring honor and glory to Christ. That's the key. And we want to do that. And we want to see that. So look at Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 1 and 2 when he starts off and he's telling believers. Notice, therefore I urge you, brethren. On your handout, I've got it where it says Romans 12, 1. It says, who is Paul writing? Who is he writing to? Who? Believers, the Christians in the church at where? I think it says Romans, right? Right? So he's writing to the believers where? In Rome. Okay, he's writing to these Christians. And he says, I beg you therefore who? Brethren. So he's writing to Christians. I've had people come up and say, this verse says you offer your life to God to be saved. Who is he talking to? Saved or unsaved people? Saved people. He's not saying offer your life to be saved. He's saying because you are saved, you offer your life. So we begin by Paul saying, I urge you, brethren. And then here's what he says, and I'm going to put these three things up there, by the mercies of God. And when we talk about the mercies of God, we're saying all that God has done for us. Think about it. God has loved us. He sent his son. Jesus died and rose again for us. He has saved us. He has given us eternal life. He's given us spiritual gifts. He's done all of these things for us based on what he's done for us, what he says, by the mercies of God, then here's what he wants you to do. Present your bodies. Now, let me tell you, this is a key. This is big. This is big because here's what happens. You wake up someday, one day, if you haven't already done this, and you say, Lord, from this day forward, I give you my life. I want to live for you. I want to go wherever you want me to go. I want to do whatever you want me to do. I offer my life to you as a living sacrifice. I choose that, and instead of saying, here's what I want to do, I'm going to say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, wherever you want me to live, whatever you want me to do, I want my life to count for you. Notice what he says, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. See, in the Old Testament, all the sacrifices were what kind of sacrifices? They were what? They were dead. They killed them, right? They took an animal and they killed it and they offered it as a sacrifice. God doesn't say, kill yourself for me. He says, offer your life for me. And so I hope and pray every one of you in this room, now it's a big decision. Because when you make that decision, what you're saying to God is, I'm choosing now from this point on to live for you. I want my life to count for you. I want to do whatever you want me to do. It is a big decision. Let me tell you how big it is. Jesus talked about, and when he talked about being a disciple and taking up the cross, this is being a disciple. This is when you say to God, I want my life to count for you. I want to live for you while I'm on this earth. I know that salvation is a gift. This is going to cost me. It's going to cost me my life. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me and die to yourself. And he says, listen, if you're going to do that, calculate the decision, what this means, because he says nobody putting their hand to the plow is supposed to turn backward. The bottom line is when you make this decision, you're saying from this point on, I want my life to count for Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of Christians who never come to that point. There are a lot of people who trust in Christ. They're saved. They're saved forever. And they choose to just go on through life. They also know that if they ever come to that point and say, Lord, I want my life to count for you, that he takes it seriously. And so if you're going to have victory in the Christian life, if you're going to make an impact for Christ while you're on this earth, the first foundational thing you need to do is to say to God, say to the Lord, I want my life to count for you. I will go wherever you want. You offer your life as a living sacrifice. It's powerful. It's powerful. Remember, it's not salvation, because salvation is a gift. This is discipleship. This is where we offer our lives to him. He says, this is the charge. And if you're on your handout, it says, the charge is to present your body. And what kind of sacrifice is it? It's a living sacrifice. Now, what he does is he gives us a negative and a positive on how we do this every day. Now, when you wake up in the morning, if today you said to God, I want my life to count for you. I give you my life. That means when you wake up tomorrow, you've given him your life. When you wake up the next day, you've given him your life. Now, when you wake up in the morning, you may say, Lord, my life is yours today. Use me for your glory. You don't say, I've decided to take it back. It don't work. They say that one of the problems with a living sacrifice, it keeps crawling off the altar, right? That's one of the problems with a living sacrifice. But when we say, Lord, use me, he takes us serious. And then he says, here's the way we do it. Notice what he says. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. He says, this is your spiritual service of worship. It literally says in the Greek, this is what you spiritually do as one who belongs to Christ. And then he gives the negative and the positive. And here's the negative first, a negative and a positive. Look what he says. Here's the negative. It literally, our Bibles read it this way, and do not be conformed to the world. But in the original language in the Greek, it actually says, stop being conformed to the world. Stop being conformed to this world. It's true that the conformed means to be shaped. And that's what the world does. It shapes us all the time. And let me just tell you something. You don't even know that it's doing it. The world shapes us. It shapes our thoughts, our visions, our dreams, the whole world and the way the world works. It's constantly pushing us. The devil controls the fallen world system, and the world system affects us. And we wake up and we laugh at the same things that the unbelievers laugh at, and we look at the world in the same way. If we're not careful, he's actually saying, quit letting this world, the word conformed actually means to be shaped. He says, stop letting this world shape you. Stop letting this world shape you. Then he gives the positive. But be what? Here's the positive. Be transformed. Notice what he says. And stop being conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed is the Greek word metamorphose. Think about that. That's the Greek word, metamorphose. We get metamorphosis. We get something that changes from the inside out. See, the world says the only way you can change is try to get better and try to do right. So the world says change from the outside in, but you can't be changed from the outside in. That's why rules and laws will never change you. You can't be changed from the outside in. You can only be changed from the inside out. And that's why he says, stop being conformed to this world. Stop letting this world shape you. But you be transformed from the inside out by the renewing of your mind. Now, renewing your mind is through the Word of God. He says you have to be changed from the inside out. From the Bible. How is the Bible going to change you? How? What do you do? You what? You read it? You study it? You know it? You apply it? You let it change you. Is that right? I mean, just saying I'm going to read the Bible, that's where it starts, but that's not the answer, right? It's not only knowing it, but doing what? Applying it. Prof. Hendricks at Dallas Seminary would say, what's the goal of the study of the Word of God? And people would say, to know it. He'd say, nope, to apply it. Know it and apply it. The goal is application, not knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. Application leads to wisdom. So what does he say? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the Word of God. So he says this, stop being conformed to this world. Stop being shaped by the world, but be transformed, changed from the inside out by the Word of God. Now, I've got this quote that I say all the time, and I put it up here. Listen to what it says. If we are not consciously being changed by the Word of God, we will unconsciously be shaped by the world. It is a conscious decision that you're going to say, I'm going to let the truths of the Bible change me from the inside out. It's going to change my thinking. It's going to change where I go. It's going to change the things I want to do. It's going to change me. It's a conscious decision. Unconsciously, the world is shaping you. If you don't do anything, you're going to be unconsciously shaped to the patterns, to the form of this world. If you consciously decide, I'm going to study the Bible, I'm going to memorize it, I'm going to read it, I'm going to know it, I'm going to apply it, I'm going to pass it on, I'm going to live my life based on Scripture. If you are consciously doing that, you will be transformed by the Word of God. And if you're not consciously doing it, you will be shaped by the world. And that's where we are. And I hate to say this, but there's so many believers that look just like unbelievers. Because we've been conformed to the world. We do it just like the world. That's why a lot of people out there want to say, look at that person. They're not really a Christian. If they were really a Christian, they'd live like a Christian. Listen, you can be a Christian and live just like the world. Okay? So you can't tell if a person's a Christian or not by how they live. A person is a Christian because they put their faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life. That's a Christian, and they're saved forever. So if we're not consciously being changed by God's word, we're unconsciously be changed, be shaped by this world. So the very first thing, and this is big, is you offer your life to Christ. You offer your life to God in service. Now, that's the biggest, let me tell you, other than trusting in Jesus Christ as Savior, this is the biggest decision you'll make in your life. Because you went from darkness to light, from hell to heaven, from being a child of Satan to being a child of God when you put your faith in Christ. That was the biggest decision. God saved you. But now, as a child of God, the biggest decision you're going to make as a child of God is to say, I give you my life. I want my life to count for you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. It changes everything. Okay? That's the first one. Here's the second foundation. The second key is you got to keep your focus on Christ. I want you to turn to Hebrews 12. Just go toward the back of your Bible till you get to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, and then Hebrews chapter 12. If you get to the book of James, you've gone too far, okay? 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and then Philemon, little book of Philemon, and then Hebrews, and go to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to see the second key. The second key. First one is offer your life. Let me tell you this. If you have never offered your life to Jesus Christ for service, when you make that decision, you will never be the same. You'll never be the same. Because God takes you seriously, and he will use you for his glory. And let me tell you something. He will use your life beyond what you could ask or imagine. It's a scary thing because you think you're in control of your life. You're not in control of your life. You don't decide if you're going to take another breath or not. You don't decide hardly anything. I mean, when we think about life, say, I'm going to run my life. You don't know tomorrow. You don't know the next second. How can you run your life when you could give it to Jesus Christ, who knows the end from the beginning and works all things together for good? Which would be better, let him control your life or you control your life? The second thing is keep our focus on Christ. This is the key, this charge. Look what he says in Hebrews, and I put there at Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it is to keep our focus on Christ. I've got, there's a summary, because in chapter 12, verse 1, he says, therefore, since we have this great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, and he's going back to chapter 11, and he's talking about all the people who've lived for Christ and who's lived for God, and been faithful people and everything. It's basically an Old Testament list. We call it the Hall of Fame of Faith and all that. Well, you go to the top of the next page, and we see the key. Okay, here's the key, and I'll give you the answer there because the slide is not exactly one, but here's the answer, and the answer is run the race with our focus on Christ. So I've got run the race with our focus on Jesus. He actually says, lay aside and run the race, fixing our eyes on Christ. That's the bottom line. Put your focus on Jesus Christ. Run the race focusing on Jesus Christ. That means as you get up every day and you've offered Christ your life and you want to live for him, then you go every day with your focus on Christ. How are you going to see Christ? Where do you see him? Where? The Word of God. That's exactly right. You go back to the truths and the principle of the Word. You know, I do this. I read the Gospels over and over and over. I do it over and over and over. Matthew, Mark, Luke, I mean, I read the whole Bible over and over and over, but there's a little section I read constantly, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Read them over and over and over. I read a chapter a day, you know, 28 and then whatever, you know, just read them all. And when I get to the end of John, I come back to Matthew and I read them over and over and over because I want to see Christ all the time. I want to see the ministry of Christ all the time. So right now, I think I just finished Matthew chapter 7 this morning. I'll be Matthew chapter 8 tomorrow. When I get through with Matthew, I'll go to Mark. When I get through with Mark, I'll go to Luke. When I get through to Luke, I'll go to John. When I get through to John, I'll go back to Matthew. Because I want to see Jesus. And so he says this. We want you to run the race with your focus on Jesus. And as you do that, he's going to tell us. I know we're about to run out of time, so he gives us two things real quickly. He says, to run this race, you've got to lay aside anything slowing you down, and you got to run with endurance. So let me give you those two things, and then let me go a little quicker just because we've only got about 3 minutes left, and you know how that is. I may have to talk fast instead of slow today, okay? So he says, lay aside anything that's slowing you down and run with endurance. Now, watch this. Notice what he says. He says, let us also lay aside, and there's two things that he says to lay aside. Are you ready? Here they are. Any encumbrance and the sin. Now, let me explain something to you. He's saying you're running the race of the Christian life, looking unto Jesus, but things can slow you down. So he says you get anything out of your life that is an encumbrance, that's anything slowing you down, and then the sin. So what he's saying is this. There's some things that slow us down that aren't sin. What if every day you got up and you said, I'm going to read the Stillwater, and I'm going to read the Oakdale, Oklahoman, and I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to watch 2 hours of Fox News, and I'm going to watch this, and boy, I'm going to really know. Okay, there's nothing wrong with any of that. What are you going to, what about reading the Bible? What about your quiet time? When are you going to have that? So there's nothing wrong with reading newspapers. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But if you do all of that but never get to the Bible, then there's that part is slowing you down, okay? Then he says, and the sin that does so easily trip us up. In our lives, there are things that stop us. There are things that are wrong that stop us. He's saying, you're going to make a difference for Christ? If you're going to run that race, you got to get out of your life anything that slows you down and anything that trips you up, whatever sins or anything that may be. Then he says, part two, and we got to go a little faster. He says, you got to run with endurance. Endurance, that means day after day after day. Let me throw that up there, day after day after day. Yesterday was the Remember the 10, and I don't ever get to train because I've got a bad foot, but I run Remember the 10 every year. Well, let me say that. Let me rephrase that. I think I'm running it, but I'm not really running it. I'm running and walking and running. But what's... You start off running and you're doing good, and then you get to this hill, and then you go, boy, I think I'm, you know, can we stop right here? But you have to go to the end. So you run with what? With endurance. You just got to keep going, and it's step after step and day after day in the Christian life. And how do you live for Christ? You wake up some days and it's raining. You wake up some days and there's something bad. You wake up some days and there's great stuff. You wake up, and what he's saying is you go day after day after day after day making a difference for Jesus Christ. You're running the race with endurance. And then here's the biggie. Here's the key. Looking unto Jesus, fixing our eyes on Christ. That's the top of the last page. Looking at Christ, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. And that this is the bottom line. Let me put you this other one up for you so you can fill in that blank. It is keep your eyes on Christ and Jesus in the circumstances of life. Now, I always tell the story. It's from the Bible, and so I'm going to tell it to you very quickly. I know time is up. But you remember that when Jesus, the guys were in the boat, they were halfway across the Sea of Galilee. They'd been on the water for 9 hours, and they were stuck, and it was a storm. And they looked up, and here comes Jesus walking across the water, and he's walking as if he's going to pass them by. And they got all scared, and he said, don't worry, it's me. And Peter said, if it's really you, command me to come out there and walk to you. And Jesus said, come on out. And Peter got out, and it says he was walking on the water. You can imagine the guys in the boat clapping and cheering, go, Peter, go, 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 this is great. He's walking out there, but then it said, as he was walking to Jesus, he began to see the wind and the waves, and he began to sink. And here's the thing. We're going to live the Christian life. We run the race looking at who? Jesus. We keep our focus on him. But listen, if you start looking at the circumstances, this is going bad, this isn't, oh, I hope this doesn't happen, you know, before you know it, you begin to sink. That's why you have to run the race with your focus on Jesus Christ. You have to keep him as the central thing of everything you're doing. Because if you look at the circumstances, because circumstances change all the time. Sometimes there's good stuff, sometimes there's bad stuff. So it says, keeping the focus on Jesus. It goes on to say, the one who went to the cross and sat down at the right hand of the throne of the Father, he went to the cross and he finished his work for us. So the foundation, three things. The first two, offer your life as a living sacrifice. That is the biggest decision you will make as a Christian. I hope and pray that every one of you will make that decision. If you do, you'll change the church. You will. And of course, most of the people in this room are the core people who already made that decision. You made a decision. You want your life to count for Christ. The second one is keep your focus on Christ. As you run the race, you're getting anything out of your life that's going to slow you down, and you focus on Jesus. And then next week, we're going to see this third one, and that is remember our responsibility. And our responsibility is we are ambassadors for Christ. So as we think about the foundation, offer our lives, run the race with endurance, keeping our focus on Christ. And next week, we'll talk about our responsibility.